I was assigned a file after the disappearance had already hardened into silence, when the usual explanations no longer held and the unanswered questions had begun to overlap with other questions from other cases, all of them circling the same place, the same command structures, and the same gaps in accountability. And as I worked through the reports, I did not start with a name or a rank, but with a sequence of actions that did not align. A soldier leaving a barracks room and never officially returning. A base that logged movements but could not account for an absence. A family told to wait while internal processes moved at their own pace. And an institution that was already under scrutiny for failures unrelated on paper, but connected in practice. Because when a disappearance occurs inside a controlled environment, the issue is no longer whether something went wrong, but where the system allowed it to go unseen. And by the time I reached the final line of the initial summary, I understood that this was not only about a missing soldier, but about how multiple investigations can exist, side by side, without touching, until time forces them to. And that the name at the center of it, the one withheld until this point, was Gregory Morales. I first reconstructed the early timeline by reviewing personnel records, housing assignments, and the base activity logs that were standard for any enlisted soldier stationed at Fort Hood. And what stood out immediately was that nothing in the documentation suggested instability or disciplinary concern that would typically precede an unexplained absence, because Gregory Morales was listed as present for duty, assigned to a barracks room and carrying out routine responsibilities consistent with his rank and unit, which meant that any explanation for his disappearance would have to contend with the fact that he was operating within expected parameters up to the point he was last confirmed seen. Morales was a young enlisted soldier, and like many stationed at Fort Hood, his days were structured by predictable cycles of training, duty assignments, and off-duty hours spent either on base or in nearby civilian areas. And the records I reviewed showed that he maintained contact with his family, which is a detail that matters because it establishes a pattern of communication that can be measured against silence. And in this case, the silence that followed his disappearance was not consistent with his prior behavior, as documented through phone records and family statements. The last confirmed sighting placed Morales leaving his barracks room during the summer of 2020, a period when Fort Hood was already under national attention for other violent incidents involving soldiers. And that context matters, not because it explains what happened to him, but because it shaped how his disappearance was perceived internally and externally. Since multiple ongoing investigations can compete for attention and resources, and confused, and when they do, smaller signals can be missed or delayed. Initial reports describe Morales as absent without leave, a classification that carries administrative implications and shapes the early response. And as I reviewed the paperwork, I noted how quickly that designation narrowed the scope of inquiry, because once a soldier is labeled AWOL, the presumption shifts toward voluntary absence, which in turn reduces the urgency of certain investigative steps. And this procedural choice would later become a focal point for criticism from Morales' family and external reviewers. Family members reported that Morales had not indicated any intention to leave the Army or cut off contact, and their concern was documented in communications with base officials. But the responses they received emphasized process and patience rather than escalation, which is not unusual in bureaucratic systems, but becomes significant when time-sensitive evidence may be degrading or disappearing altogether. As weeks passed, the absence remained unresolved, and the file began to accumulate not with answers, but with annotations, follow-up requests, and references to other cases under review at Fort Hood, including unrelated homicides and misconduct allegations. And while these were officially separate, the overlap in personnel and command oversight meant that systemic issues were being evaluated even as Morales' status remained unchanged. From an investigative standpoint, the lack of immediate physical evidence forced reliance on indirect indicators, such as vehicle access logs, witness recollections, and digital traces. And each of these came with limitations, because recollections fade, logs are only as accurate as their inputs, and digital data requires timely preservation to remain useful. And in Morales' case, the belay inherent in the AWOL designation complicated all three. I examined the housing records to confirm that Morales' personal effects remained in his barracks room, which they did, and this detail contradicted the notion of a planned departure, because soldiers intending to leave typically remove essential items, and the presence of his belongings suggested interruption rather than intent, a conclusion that would later be echoed by independent reviewers. The base environment itself also required consideration, because Fort Hood is not an open civilian setting, but a controlled installation with checkpoints, surveillance, and internal law enforcement. And when a person disappears within such an environment, the question shifts from where they might have gone to how they could have gone unnoticed, which is a more complex and institutionally uncomfortable inquiry. During this period, Fort Hood leadership faced increasing scrutiny from the Department of Defense and Congress due to unrelated incidents. And as I read through contemporaneous communications, I noted how language emphasizing reform and review appeared alongside routine administrative updates, creating a backdrop of institutional defensiveness that may have influenced how aggressively new concerns were pursued. Morales's family continued to push for answers, and their efforts were documented through emails and formal complaints, which in turn generated responses that reiterated existing classifications rather than revisiting underlying assumptions. And this pattern is important because it demonstrates how early decisions can calcify into policy positions that are difficult to reverse without external pressure. By the end of 2020, Morales remained missing, officially listed as AWOL, and his case existed in a kind of administrative limbo, neither fully criminal nor fully resolved. And as I closed the first segment of the file, what was clear was not what had happened to him, but that the system responsible for accounting for him had not adapted as new information, or the lack of it, accumulated. The shift from absence to investigation began not with a discovery, but with a convergence, as multiple inquiries into misconduct and violent crime at Fort Hood prompted broader reviews of unresolved cases, and Morales's name resurfaced in that context, which is often how dormant files re-enter active consideration, not because new evidence appears spontaneously, but because the framework around them changes. As external pressure mounted, Fort Hood leadership initiated reviews of how missing soldiers were classified and tracked, and in the course of these reviews, Morales's case was re-examined, with particular attention paid to the inconsistencies between his documented behavior and the AWOL designation, and this re-evaluation marked the first formal acknowledgement that the initial assumptions might have been flawed. Investigators revisited surveillance footage from areas Morales was known or believed to have accessed, but the passage of time limited the availability and clarity of these recordings, and this is where procedural delays have tangible consequences, because surveillance systems often overwrite data after set periods, meaning that opportunities to capture definitive movements can be permanently lost. Digital records, including phone data, were also reassessed, and while they provided general location information prior to Morales' disappearance, they did not extend far enough to conclusively establish what happened afterward, which left investigators with a narrowing window of confirmed activity, followed by an expanding field of uncertainty. The turning point came in 2022, when remains were discovered off base in a wooded area in Bell County, Texas, and forensic analysis confirmed that they belonged to Gregory Morales, transforming the case from a missing person inquiry into a homicide investigation. And this confirmation reframed every prior decision and delay in a new light. I reviewed the forensic reports carefully, noting that while the remains provided confirmation of death, they did not immediately answer questions about cause or circumstance. And this limitation is common in cases where remains are discovered long after death, because environmental exposure can erase or obscure critical indicators. The location of the remains raised further questions, because it suggested movement beyond the base perimeter, which in turn required investigators to consider how Morales left Fort Hood, whether voluntarily or under duress, and whether others were involved. But as with earlier phases of the case, definitive answers proved elusive. As the homicide investigation progressed, it intersected with ongoing probes into Fort Hood's command climate, including allegations of misconduct and failures in leadership. And while these investigations did not directly determine who killed Morales, they established a context in which oversight failures were acknowledged, lending weight to critiques of how his disappearance had been handled. Public reporting on Morales's case emphasized these intersections, highlighting how multiple unresolved or mishandled incidents at Fort Hood pointed to systemic problems. And as I reviewed media summaries alongside official statements, I noted the careful phrasing used to separate individual culpability from institutional responsibility, a distinction that is often contested in such cases. Law enforcement agencies, at the local, state, and federal levels, coordinated to pursue leads, but the elapsed time constrained the scope of actionable evidence. And despite renewed attention, no immediate arrests followed the discovery of the remains, underscoring the reality that recognition and accountability do not always arrive together. Throughout this phase, Morales's family remained central to the narrative, not as speculative commentators, but as sources of factual context regarding his character and habits. And their insistence that his disappearance was inconsistent with voluntary absence was now supported by the ultimate finding of his death. The case file expanded rapidly after the remains were identified, but much of that expansion consisted of retrospective analysis rather than new discoveries. And this distinction matters, because it illustrates how investigations can become exercises in reconstruction rather than resolution when early opportunities are missed. As I concluded my review of this phase, what remained unresolved was not whether Morales had been the victim of a crime, but how that crime had unfolded and who bore responsibility. Questions that continued to drive investigative efforts, even as public attention began to shift elsewhere. The final phase of the case is defined less by closure than by documentation, because while Gregory Morales was officially reclassified from missing to deceased and his death acknowledged as a homicide, the absence of identified suspects meant that the core investigative question remained open. And this open-endedness shaped how the case was ultimately recorded and remembered. I examined the official conclusions regarding Morales' status change, noting the language used to correct earlier classifications and the acknowledgments of delay. And while these documents did not assign individual blame, they did concede that procedural shortcomings had affected the timeliness and effectiveness of the response. Parallel reviews of Fort Hood's command climate resulted in policy recommendations and leadership changes. And although these measures were not specific to Morales' case, they were informed by patterns that his disappearance exemplified, particularly regarding communication, accountability, and the handling of serious incidents involving enlisted personnel. The homicide investigation itself continued, with law enforcement maintaining the case as active, and periodic public updates reiterated that tips were being evaluated. But without new evidence, these updates served primarily to affirm ongoing commitment rather than to announce progress, a reality that is common in long-term unsolved cases. Morales' family pursued recognition of the failures that preceded the discovery of his remains, and their efforts contributed to broader discussions about how missing soldiers are treated within military systems, discussions that resulted in changes to reporting protocols and oversight mechanisms, according to official summaries. From an evidentiary standpoint, the case remains constrained by what was not preserved, not because of deliberate obstruction, but because of procedural inertia, and this distinction is critical when assessing responsibility, as it separates intent from consequence while still acknowledging harm. I documented how Morales' name appears in multiple reports, not as an isolated incident, but as part of a series of cases that collectively prompted institutional introspection. And while this does not explain his death, it situates it within a documented period of crisis and reform at Fort Hood. The physical evidence recovered in 2022 closed one chapter while opening another, and the forensic findings established the fact of homicide without providing a narrative of how it occurred, leaving investigators to rely on circumstantial reconstruction rather than direct proof. As of the last confirmed update in the file, no arrests have been made in connection with Morales' death, and the case remained open, a status that carries both procedural meaning and emotional weight. But in my role, I confined my conclusions to what was verified and recorded, resisting the temptation to fill gaps with inference. The record ends, not with resolution, but with a summary of actions taken, classifications revised, and investigations ongoing. And while that may feel incomplete, it reflects the reality of the evidence as it stands, which is the only defensible endpoint for a factual account. Gregory Morales entered the record as a missing soldier, was later identified as a homicide victim, and now remains listed in official files as a case still under investigation, And that is where the facts, as currently verified, come to rest.